You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
I wonder if it's loaded. No one follows us, or I kill myself and then her.
I love the way our opening ends in this week's episode. Oh my god!
Because
that's life, my friend. Just fucking click the link already.
I gotta say, so welcome to Movie Sucktastic. This is Scott. The jolly one there is Joey. And we're talking about Unfriended from the year 2014.
15. The movie came out in 2015, I thought.
Everything I see says 2014.
Is it? Oh, all right. 2014.
Yeah.
You're right. I brought up the IMDb page. You're right. It is 2014.
And this is the Lost episode.
Sure.
Yes.
Better than the ending of Lost.
Yeah, we reviewed Unfriended way back 6 years ago, and Joey knows the exact date, I think.
It was July 12th, 2018.
There you go. And for some reason, it's just wiped off the internet. I don't know what happened. It was a glitch. It was a bug, whatever you want to call it. So we just decided to review it again.
Maybe
and
it was, we're gonna replace something similar that happened in this movie.
Oh, hey,
some otherworldly ghost in the machine type stuff. You sure?
Now, I gotta be honest, I don't remember our original review that much, but I am glad that we decided to review this film again, because rewatching this film, I really have a newfound appreciation for it.
Well, you know what's interesting? As I rewatch this myself, I go, I bet we didn't like this very much 6 years ago. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, you know, 6 years ago, we're probably shitting on this a little bit, and you know, because it's a found footage movie, and
I've always been a fan of found footage films, so I don't know.
I don't love found footage films, but there are some good ones.
We did rate it on IMDb at the time, and it does still sit at a 6-star rating that we put in there.
We put a 6 in there.
Yes, so we did have at least some appreciation for the film.
Well, you know what? I don't think I would go 7 for this. I think I would still stick with a 6.
I would push for a 7 just for fun, but
I think
I'm okay.
7. I think 7. I don't know. 7.
Well,
7's I think just too good.
Part of it for me is that I went back and read some reviews from the year it came out, and there's a lot of bullies out there.
Oh yeah, there is.
And they're film critics now. And no, it's one of those situations where a lot of the shit that this film got when it came out, but it did get a lot of good positive feedback too. This film started the it's the first or second, depending on who you listen to, found footage film in the specific kind of, not really a genre, but like a format called the what is it called, screen time or screen life.
Oh, okay.
So the whole so it's found footage, but it only takes place on one screen. There's full motion video games now that take place on your cell phone. I played a couple of them. I like full motion video games.
Well, you know, and what? I mean, I had a Sega CD back in the day, and very quickly, a Sega CD was a unit that snapped into.
No one cares, Grandpa.
Click the fucking button, dude. It snapped into a Sega Genesis, and what it was supposed to do was supposed to give you a CD player that you could play CD games on. So they were trying to head in that direction. The problem is, it was a fucking Genesis with Genesis graphics with CD quality audio. But, and I am going somewhere with this, the thing that kept the Sega CD alive as long as it did was full motion video games. They had a ton of them.
You're taking the tangent further.
Just a little. Because I have to. Because it's in my brain.
It has to
come out of my brain, and everyone else has to know it too. So
it's our curse. I know.
Night Trap.
Yeah, so, I mean, in this film,
Night Trap.
And there was a sequel that I didn't care as much for. But there's other
Dark
films
Web.
Like the Searching film and the sequel that came out. We talked about Searching in a previous episode. The format has caught on, and other people are doing it, though not as much. But this was kind of the first big one. And I think it's great.
I liked it. And you know what I also liked? I liked that it was 82 minutes because you don't really go, if you go north of 90 minutes, it's like, listen, it's too much. There's just not enough happening. They would have to have had this moves all the way beginning to end. If you went longer than 90, then you got filler and you've got just too much crap.
And that's something, like, again, revisiting some of these, and I don't usually read reviews to begin with, so that's why it was interesting. I wanted to see what the reception was. And the reviews that did shit on the film, they would use the same arguments that they use for every found footage film. And these are the same kind of arguments you could use for a Tennessee Williams play. They simply say, oh, you know what? It's just a static screen, so nothing happens. Or, you know, there's only, like, five characters. There's nothing actually is happening. It's, you know, while just sitting, it's like, no, dude, things are going on. It's called a narrative. It's a story structure. You don't need the camera doesn't have to zip around in order for you to learn shit.
Right.
And this film, especially the pacing, is excellent.
It's really good, especially in scenes where when she's just typing to who she believes is a person at that time, she would type something. Well, us, the audience, get to see what she was going to type. Then she deletes it, types something different.
Right.
So it's like, oh, we got to see what she was really thinking or what she was, quote unquote, probably going to lie about. But then she changes her mind. It's like little things like that were really good.
That's storytelling. Yeah.
You know?
Just to break down the plot very, very quickly everybody that's watching has seen the film, but still I'm going to be professional.
Sure.
We're going to do this.
Let's
do
it.
The basic plot, the whole thing takes place on the MacBook desktop of a teenage girl named Blair. And she's chatting online with a bunch of her friends, and it's the anniversary of the death of their mutual friend, Laura Barnes, who killed herself as a result of severe cyberbullying. Throughout the course of the night, a mysterious online presence starts messing with them, and then starts doxing type harassment, and it gets worse. We soon find out it's Laura Barnes has possessed the internet or the computers, and you don't have to get too much into that because technically she's not in the computer; it's not a ghost in the machine. But regardless, that's the narrative structure in which we watch the whole story progress, and she taunts and plays with them as she kills them one by one.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly put. It's perfectly put. Because as you watch this, it's like, well, you can't really do that with a Mac, because Mac doesn't really have viruses. It's like, if you wanted to break it down as an IT person or a technical person, it's like, yeah, that's not how that works.
Oh, yeah, when they download like what was it called, the Trojan Hunter or
yeah, something like that. Like,
yeah, this is how hack programs work. No, that's not how they work. They're all basic, but they will have that loud techno blasting at you, while you try to get the crack code from it. No, yeah, it's Hollywood technology, but
Hollywood has gotten better. They have gotten better. It's not like the Tron days.
It's realistic within the format. Yeah, it's not unbelievable. It's just for those in the know, not real. That's all.
Yeah, back in the Tron days, Jeff Bridges pretty much types along, you know, open gate, and just hits enter. It's like, dude, I've worked on systems like that when I was a kid, and it's like, you're going to get a syntax error. That's not that's not happening.
What operating system are you running, motherfucker? Actually, it just occurred to me today that the Matrix is really just a remake of Tron.
Really? I guess so. It's a whole other world, sure.
I think that's got a video coming up. Start working on that.
Well, one of the first things we ever did was a bad movie day. Was Tron the first one ever?
Hold on.
I think it was.
Tangent. Let's stick on the track.
Nobody remembers that.
Right. No. But anyway, but so that's the basic plot of the film. And guess what I dug out?
Oh, my God. I have one. Yeah, I have mine notebook. Somewhere. I have it somewhere.
I dug it out because I'm doing the video of our first review ever, Dead Snow. And I have the notes in here, so I was digging through it. So I used it for Unfriended. So I got notes here.
You have notes for Unfriended?
Notes. Yeah, I just did them, fresh ones.
Oh no, I thought you had notes for Unfriended like the first time.
I didn't even think to look if I had ones from the first time. I just did new ones when I watched it.
I know I stopped writing down notes a while ago, just because it.
I'm trying to get back into it.
I, you know, it's like, well, here's the thing. It's every once in a while I'll watch something and I'll be like, I should write this down so I don't remember, so I don't forget, you know, to talk about it.
I'm trying to do it, especially if it's a film I've already seen.
Gotcha.
You know, but you know, like I start off with Universal logo glitch, which I thought was a nice touch. They do it right. I you know, the film's kind of folds you into the universe of what's happening right there.
Sure.
And I don't know what this is a reference to, but I wrote weird chatterbait commercial. Oh, it's when the kids are talking. Yeah. So
chatterbait.
So the opening is the opening is with Blair talking to her boyfriend. At one point, he pulls a knife out. It's like. Fake threatening or take off your shirt. It's like, this is a weird commercial. I don't know.
So what do you think, Ken? I just saw a slideshow or a slide of Ken when he pulls the stuff away and he's looking, he's bending down. What do you think he's looking at that moment? He's looking at Laura Barnes, right?
Right. Oh, definitely. And she's possessed. Now that's one of the things the film does is while the stuff's happening. Blair like shrinks down the one, or you know, brings up a new window and does a Google search. You know, a lot of things hope happening at once, like most people do on computers these days, and even back then.
Sure, multitasking.
And she looks up this website and basically finds out on one website through brilliant exposition that poltergeist can actually possess you and then make you kill yourself.
Yes, that she does. She absolutely does.
Right. So here's the film. I want to touch on this briefly because we're talking about teenage suicide. Don't do it. And Heather's reference, right?
Yep. Yes.
I just want to make sure you caught it. That's all. This film is based is not based on, but it was partially inspired by a true story. The person, I got the name here in the review I just posted. I just got to remember. Damn it, is Audrey Pott. She was a 15-year-old girl in California who three kids got her drunk at a party, sexually assaulted her, took videos and pictures, shared them to her friends and family, and she hung herself.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Not funny. Yeah, not
no.
funny. Obviously. What I appreciate about this film is this is about cyberbullying, and it's, I mean, even like today, kill yourself is like a common just kid insult.
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, and kids and teenage suicide rate has been increasing, especially among trans, homosexual children, teenagers, kids. It's gotten fucking worse. And the bullying has gotten worse. If I was a kid when they had internet, I don't know if I'd even be alive. It was bad enough without the fucking internet when I was a kid. So, what I appreciate about the film is it's not just like a gimmick or slapped on there. It's weaved throughout the story. It opens with a girl. The worst part of the film is how she's holding the gun when she shoots herself.
No,
because so So Laura Barnes, there's a video of Laura Barnes killing herself at school, like in out in like the gymnasium field or whatever it's called, track and field, and she has like a
baseball
gun,
baseball diamond or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. And she's holding the gun at arm's length and pointing at her. And now they're doing this because they have to make the video blurry enough so they're not showing it. And but if you do that and have her holding the gun at her head, you can't see what it is. So she has to hold it like this at a weird angle. That's the worst part of the film.
Yeah, I thought for a second, I'm like, is she holding a shotgun? Because she's holding it pretty far away.
Worst suicide ever. So that's the setup opening. And the film's taking place. These kids are talking online on the anniversary of her death. So 1 year later, the parents are all out drinking at the bars or the memorials. And we slowly find out that these kids were responsible for her suicide. They either bullied her online or spread rumors about it or were involved in doing the thing that led that was exposed, which was another drunk video. But they took out the whole sexual assault part because that's a bit too serious for, you know, a film that's trying to entertain. You know, but we'll keep it light. So instead of that, she just poops herself and they showed a video, you know, which is, you know, it's traumatic. And sure. So, but while all this is happening, though, Laura Barnes's character exposes their secrets, their lies, and how they're all doing the same thing to each other that they did to her, and exposes them all for just being horrible, horrible people as she kills them one by one. But she does it by doing the same thing they did to her. She pretty much bullies them. And then since she possesses them, she basically bullies them into killing themselves, which I think would have been a great idea for like a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, well, but, you know, what's funny,
So it's like a karmic, justice. The killer is the good guy in this film. Everybody else is a horrible fucking person that deserved to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they're all, well, they as the movie progresses, you see more and more of the things that they did. It wasn't just, they said something bad. Oh, it was this. Oh, it was like more and more things get revealed that all of them did something in some way. And to the climax, to the very end of the film, where, you know, you're with the final person and they're pleading, I didn't do anything. Look how cool.
I didn't mean it.
It's like we were childhood best friends. It's like all that stuff. So, and then it just goes off the deep end.
And what's even better is when Laura Barnes makes them play the Never Have I Ever game where you hold up the hand and take a hand, which I never played because I didn't go to parties in high school.
I never played it either.
I was a dork.
Never played it either.
Yeah. I've seen it in films, though, so I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
And so through this game, through exposing their lies and deceitful nature to each other, she eventually exposes to them that because they've all been hiding this from themselves as well as each other. That's the whole part of the thing. You hide behind this anonymity online, and you hide behind, you know, your friendships and stuff when you're doing these things, but you're just really just a selfish, narcissistic asshole, which is, you know, it's you know, that for me, that's the biggest horror film of all, finding out all your friends are complete dicks.
True.
You know, hell is other people, as they say. So I just feel like the karmic justice of her not only doing that, but exposing who they are to each other and making them betray each other the way they betrayed her, right? Especially with the big betrayal, the big character arc, if there is one, would be with Blair's character as she starts the whole thing, like acting all sad and everything. And then eventually in like lovey-dovey with her boyfriend. And but at the end of the arc, she betrays him to save her own ass and has to admit that she's the reason Laura Barnes is dead.
Yeah.
Because she was a horrible friend and she did that to her. That is, and on top of that, it exposes the mob mentality online where Laura Barnes throws them to the wolves the same way they did to her. And so like that's why I thought it would be, in some ways it would have been a better film if they actually did kill themselves. But it wouldn't be a one crazy night film, but it'd have to go over like a course of a week. But just like the idea of the spirit, like exposing all their secrets and to the point where they kill themselves, which is, you know, it's kind of what they do, but she speeds it up by possessing them and doing it herself. Chekhov's blender. So I'm sorry, I rambled a bit, but I'm saying that's the part of the movie that I was really excited about. As far as like writing goes, on top of the excellent storytelling and the great acting, I gotta say, these kids sold me on being Weasley little shits. And their histrionics and over anything over the top or over melodramatic is exactly what I expect from a fucking teenager. I know, because I was one. Yeah. So I really have a great appreciation for this film. From that, on top of that, it's nice to know somebody actually gave a shit. There's effort into this film, and you can taste it.
Yeah, it didn't deserve the shit that it probably got back when it came out. Although,
and again, it did get a lot of accolades, but the found footage aspect of it is just like throwing red meat to the wolves, you know.
Now, if I remember. If that's a I want to say on Rotten Tomatoes, it actually did okay with reviewers, I think. Yeah, 62%. So it actually has a fresh rating.
Not bad. For a horror film, that's not bad.
The audience score, 37, which is, it's usually the other way around. It's usually the audiences are more forgiving.
Yeah, see that, but a lot of critics, again, even the critics that shit on the film at least gave it props for like the storytelling aspects that it then claimed it didn't have.
At least it was something different in the genre.
It created a new subgenre, if you will. One other complaint I saw from people that was shit on it was like, oh, how come they just turn off the computers? So. Now, fair. I made a note. 25-minute mark. This is when you unplug the PC. And that's the point where it's like, okay, this is getting kind of weird. Let's just all sign off. But the point to the film, and I think this was in an interview with the director or the writer, they're trying to ban, they're banning TikTok now in the state, and they're doing it in other states for children because they say social media is addictive and destructive. Internet can be that way, and you do have kids that live online, you know.
Yeah.
So the idea that these kids they live online, the idea of like, okay, we should just turn off our computers doesn't even occur to them. However, 34-minute mark, that's when the ghost comes in and says, "You hang up and you die."
Right. They say that. So the thing is,
so there's only a 9-minute window where you can reasonably say you should have fucking left. So that's not bad. That's reasonable. That makes sense to me.
But it does. And here's the thing too. The ghost is going to kill them no matter what. It's just fucking with them. If they turn off their computers, we don't see a movie. The movie's over. It's a short film.
Right. Again, that's Do you want realism or do you want the guy to drive around 3 blocks waiting, looking for a parking space? No, he just parks in front of City Hall. We move on. Yeah, shut up.
Exactly. It's like, oh, look how convenient. Right in New York City, spot right in front. What luck.
But unlike cell phones and things like that these days, the film didn't really have to. And the fact that the ghost could control the technology, could manipulate the technology, ghost in the machine, that gave another level of control to the ghost. And so, I mean, it's more reasonable that it took like that much time. It's not like they just ignore it and say, okay, let's just pretend they can't turn off the computers. We don't play that. There's a narrative reason why at a certain point they can't. And I think it comes at just the right point.
I think you're right. I do.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
I'm happy you you grabbed the snapshots from the end, the very, very end, where you actually get to see Laura Barnes. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I had to get that because I don't like that. I don't like that they show her at the end.
I thought
they should have left Blair to like at the end. It should have just been Blair shutting the laptop, and the post-credit sequence should have been the YouTube video of Blair killing herself.
There's a few different ways to have done it. That one would have worked too. Absolutely.
I'm so bored I'm drinking bleach. Yeah, so you've got death by blender, then death by bleach, then death by curling iron, then death by headbutting a butcher knife, then death by Laura Barnes.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think I forgot anything.
Well, Adam shoots himself, right? Did you say that?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Adam.
Yeah.
How did I forget about Adam?
I don't know.
Yeah, and
because he was the biggest dick.
who did Adam remind you of in that film?
Was he supposed to remind, like, somebody we grew up with, or were you talking?
No, someone from a film, someone from entertainment.
From entertainment,
dude, Flea from Back to the Future.
I would have never put that together. You mean
really?
This
looks just like him.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look anything like Flea.
Flea in Back to the Future. I don't know. I thought it was.
Wait. Flea was in Back. Hold on. Maybe we're getting our wires crossed. Flea.
He plays the guy that gets Marty Fly. He gets Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
3.
Yeah.
He's the one that gets him fired.
I know. He doesn't look anything like Flea, dude.
Really? What he's like, it sounds like it's the character from that movie. I could have. Never mind. All right. It's just me.
I will.
No.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
That's just old age. I take it back.
Just old age.
Forget I said anything.
What'd you say?
I'll cross that out. No one will ever see that note again.
Never.
Death by Blender. They should have let Mitch walk. What does that mean? Oh, yeah. Fuck Mitch. What the hell? Just let Mitch walk. What do you care?
Ooh, excuse me.
Yeah, because there's that one scene where the Laura sends them both faxes.
Yeah.
They're probably just a printer, but still, I think it's funnier if they were faxes. And they can't show them. And the bratty and Mitch the whiny bitch boyfriend is all pissed off now. He's like, I'm gonna walk and die if you don't. I'll die. I'm gonna kill myself. I was like, oh, fucking do it then, you fucking pussy. God damn it, man. I'm glad he headbutts a butch knife at the end.
Oh,
fuck it. But, well, again, they're all bad characters. They're all bad people. They're all horrible.
Well, yes, they're
people.
All bad.
If I could have anybody live, I think it would be what's his name I was just talking about? Flea.
Adam?
Adam. If anybody was going to survive that movie, I want it to be Adam.
Now,
at least he stepped up, man.
Maybe I missed it, but did Ken... what did he do? What was his contribution?
They all either pushed the negative stuff online or promoted it. And, like, well, Ken comes all right out and calls Laura a bitch and says, yeah, fuck her. She was always a bitch. And so you knew he was behind all the negative stuff online, too. It was just the fact that all of them were two-faced and betrayed her. So with Ken, it's more out in the open. It's like, no, I never liked her. But obviously they're hanging out. And they kind of show that duplicity, too, between the two friend characters, Bleach and Curling Irons, Jess and Val.
Val.
Right?
No, Val was...
No, Laura...
No, yeah. It was Jess was the curling iron.
Val.
Oh, and Val was
and Val's the bleach.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so they showed that thing with Jess and Val because Val's late to the party and, like, Jess is bad, they're bad-mouthing her and she goes up and then Jess and Val are obviously at each other's throats. So there's always, like, there's this tension and they know they're talking about each other behind their backs at the same time. It's just, they're just horrible people.
Yeah.
So they've all been doing it to some degree. It's just revealed more and more how much they did. I think with Ken, like, remember, at one point she sends each of them a file just to them for them to look at. So we don't even know what she showed Ken, but Ken obviously did something.
Yeah, they didn't show it. That's right. Now I remember. Yeah, he was like, he started, like, yelling and he's like, what the fuck? You know, so.
So that was, that's storytelling. That's when you don't write something in when there's a reason for it. This ain't Lost in Translation bullshit. This is fucking the real deal. Man. Oh, I love the pop-up ad.
Oh. Where it's got
what a tension breaker. So not only is it a porn ad. What was it for? Hot, like, live cams.
Live streams.
Live cams. Yeah, basically like cam girl ad that pops up, and as it goes through the pictures, the last video on it, if you catch it just in time, is Blair taking her shirt off at the beginning of the film.
Yes.
That's just great. And Laura Barnes is a fucking great poltergeist. Man, what a sense of humor. She's got my vote. the diegetic music where they would play songs in the background,
right,
on Blair's laptop. I mean, there's so much. It's a very creative film, and it really does.
And the playing, like music playing while like my son, he games with his friends, and Discord is kind of, it's like the new, it's not new, but it's been around for a while now, and it's, yeah. So they'll play music while they're gaming and while they're just bullshitting while they're gaming. So it's interesting that is still something that's still going on, is just as far as being social on online. So
killer memes. Again, they didn't even say killer memes at all through the. You didn't have to. That's what it's just right. Perfect. I do have another complaint though.
Okay.
3 minutes on chat roulette with no dicks? No, not happening.
Chat roulette.
No. You don't make 3 minutes. So I've heard.
I've never done those chat rooms like that.
Me neither. But I have good authority.
I'm being serious.
I'm being serious too. I just have it on good authority that every third screen is a dick. So, hey, that, and who the fuck sets a sleep alarm? Really?
We have a test tomorrow.
Yeah, that was a cheap jump scare. I will put criticism where due. Cheap ass jump scare. No one sets a fucking sleep alarm because they have a test tomorrow. Yeah. So in case I forget that I have to study, and no, shut the fuck up. You're an idiot.
Well,
Chekhov's butcher knife. Sorry.
Yeah, I imagine that if you talk to the director, you'd be like, "Yeah, it's a jump scare. Yeah, that's I'm not hiding that."
No. The click the fucking link was a jump scare, but it would work. It was good and it was natural. It made sense. The fuck, a sleep alarm? Come on.
Gotta go to sleep.
It just bugged me. No one sets a sleep alarm, and if you do, don't stop that. Stop that.
Got to get your eight hours, man.
But overall, I like the film.
Same.
Yeah. So what do you think? Bump it to an 8?
Fuck no. Stop it.
No, so because of the budget,
$1 million. $1 million budget.
I mean, it earned a shitload of back. They made a sequel. It pretty much jump started a whole subgenre. You got to give it credit for that. I think 6 is low, but I do understand because it's for all its strengths, it does have the weaknesses that come with a smaller production.
Right.
And you're doing something new, so of course you're going to hit some hiccups and some things aren't going to work as smoothly. So I think it really. Like, I wouldn't give Blair Witch a 10, but again, Blair Witch started a movement. You got to give it something.
True. That is true.
So you want to stick to 6, or would you want to bump it to a 7?
I do not want to bump it to a 7.
All right, we'll leave it a 6.
I think 6 is good. I do.
All right.
I think 7 is moving. You move, when you head into the 7 range, you just move into, like, cult classic. You just move into a different area, you know.
You're right. I acquiesce. So I kind of steamrolled through a lot
Destroyer.
Of that.
Trojan Destroyer. It's on the screen right now.
I love that. I kind of bulldozed through a lot of this because I was kind of excited to re-review this film. So, do you have anything else to add? I didn't give you much time to talk. I apologize.
No.
What do you think? Anything else that I to add?
No, I think I interjected as much as I could. I'm happy with what I was able to get in.
What was your favorite kill? I don't know. Who do you want to survive?
Who would I want to survive?
I'm on Team Adam. How about you?
Honestly, I think Val, she had, so they showed up that screen of what her contribution. You know, yeah. Where it said, sorry, I've been mean to you. This is what Laura had said. Sorry, I've been mean to you, blah, 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 this and this and that. And she goes, oh, yeah, no, fuck you. How about you go fuck yourself? And
kill yourself.
Or kill yourself. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. I said kill yourself. That was her contribution. Now, awful? Absolutely. But if you're going to put a totem pole together, that might be at the bottom. Just because you say it doesn't mean that the person could take it to where it's like, okay, I'm going to do it because you said for me to do it. Posting videos online, spreading rumors, you know, if you're going to put a totem pole together, I would probably put her at the bottom.
All right. I know that I gave you an unfair decision of choosing the lesser evil out of these five douchebags.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
I think I had a much more convincing argument than you.
What, for Adam?
Yeah. He's a dick, but at least he stood up at the end, man.
I'm just talking about
he took one for Blair.
True. True.
After he gave one to Blair.
Mm-hmm. I want it to be prom night. Okay. Sure. Listen. If you have to have me choose, then yeah, I'd probably go with Val. Just because she was the least piece of garbage out of all of them.
I don't agree, but I definitely no judgment on that call.
There you go.
All right. So,
okay.
So, I don't want to waste too much time on this, but we have a challenge coming up. We're finally back on challenges after the Oscar season.
Yes.
And you were gracious enough to let me go first.
Let's go with that.
So I wanted to pick a new place. I don't want to write down any new rules, like strict rules on what the challenges are going to be going back and forth, what the connections are. Let's just leave that wide open to see where it goes. However, for choosing this first review, I want to fill a hole in our past review history. If you go back from 2023,
okay,
because I don't think we've really reviewed anything in 2024 yet. But if you go back to 2023, you can keep going back. We've reviewed at least one film in every year going back until you hit 2003. We don't have one single dedicated review.
Wow.
From a 2003 film. So instead of me picking one, I wanted to spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
Let's see if this works.
You know what I'm going to...
I have constructed...
No, go ahead.
I've utilized the Microsoft app of a spin the wheel choice decision maker, and I have added to it, I think, roughly 13 good choices for a bad movie review.
Okay.
From 2003.
All right. So I have the wheel.
You're able to load that.
I am.
Okay.
So I have it. I'm gonna import. Yes, let's import now. Oh, there we go. I'm going to move this over. Here, let's move this over here to the other screen so people can see it. It's going to block you a little bit. Sorry about that. As a matter of fact, I am going to move myself out of the frame. Ooh, there we go. Okay. Look at this. Spin the wheel. So look at all these movies. So should we go over the movies on the list? Like, just
yeah,
to say...
Yeah, read through them real quick.
All right, so we have The Core, which, ironically enough, I had just, not entirely, but watched most of it. It was on TV as I was flipping through channels. Underworld. Eric Bana's... It's The Hulk. But it's... it's Ang Lee's Hulk, starring Eric Bana.
Yep.
Too Fast, Too Furious, the sequel, mm-hmm. Too Fast and the Furious. Daredevil with Ben Affleck. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. House of the Dead. U Bowles, House of the Dead. Wow.
Yeah.
Timeline. Is that the one with Paul Walker?
Michael Crichton,
but I think Paul Walker is in that one, I think.
I don't remember. I saw it once and did not like it.
Tomb Raider 2, Electric Boogaloo. The first Tomb Raider was so bad that when the second one came out, they're like, this is still bad. but this is actually pretty good compared to the first movie. That's how bad the first one was.
I don't think I've seen
it. This one's upside down. Oh, the Medallion.
Jackie Chan.
Boat Trip. And Wrong Turn. I actually liked Wrong Turn.
Well, it did, I didn't, but it did spawn a whole fucking franchise. So
They made a whole bunch of those movies.
Six or seven of them.
Yeah. Wrong Turn is where they make a wrong turn, and they end up in, like, the deep woods with, like, this inbred, like, psychotic, Hills Have Eyes type people.
You know, the whole Hills Have Eyes shit. Yeah, we know.
All right.
So, let's spin the wheel.
All right, let's spin this wheel. Does this have sound, or is it just going to spin?
It does have some sound. I don't know if it'll play, though.
All right, let's see what we got. Oh! I apologize for everyone's ears. Holy shit!
You okay? What happened?
Well, it picked League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting review.
Yes, it is. And we're definitely going to talk about the director for that. Because was Steve Norrington, I believe, is the director. How he's made movies, and Hollywood has pretty much shit on him and his movies, where the director of, like, The Mummy and the movies that director has made, Hollywood is like, oh, this is very good. And it's like, you know what? These are both, like, the same person. They make the same movies, yet you hate these movies by this director. Because I think Steve Norrington, he ended up just kind of
blacklisted,
running out of Hollywood, you know? And then it's like, you take this director and you just shit on everything he does, but you take this director and you praise everything he does, and they're basically the same movies.
So there's a spoiler for what you're in for next episode.
Okay. Okay.
And who knows? Maybe we'll bring the wheel back again. I thought it was a novel way to do it, and I hope it was fun.
Sure.
For a brief moment of joy in our miserable lives.
Now that I know the kind of sound that this puts out, I might try and adjust that a little bit. I apologize to everyone's ears.
I can't wait to watch this on YouTube.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Oh, man.
All right.
All right. So League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yep. Which, by the way, I did like. I like that one.
Don't. Spoilers.
Listen, I'm not going to give you a score or how much I liked it, how little I liked it. It's just a film that I remember. Well, okay. Let me put it this way. I haven't seen it in a really long time. I remembered liking it. How about that?
When you rewatch it.
All right, maybe I'll take some notes on this one.
All right.
All right, let me get this shit out of the screen here.
Yeah, let's let's. Yeah, get rid of that wheel. We're done here.
All right.
Are we good?
We are good, man. We are good. All right, so we should end this, huh?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Do your thing.
I'm going to do my thing. All right, everybody. As always, thank you again for joining us for another episode of Movie Sucktastic. Oh yeah, look, there's the slide where that impact font on every fucking meme. So is when Scott was doing the wallpaper or like the thumbnail for all of our YouTube videos, he goes, "What font should I use?" You gotta use Impact. What do you mean? Everyone fucking uses Impact. It's on everything. May as well just do what everyone else is doing. So I don't think that's really done anymore. They've moved on from that, but it's still around. Anyway.
I'm stuck with it.
Go to our website at moviesucktastic.com. It's a brand new site. I think you'll like it. Literally, you can do everything from it. You can listen to our show there. You can download the show there. You can click on the video link and it'll take you to the YouTube page, and if we have an episode that we have filmed that we've gone live with, it'll be there waiting for you. We worked really hard on it, so please go and enjoy it, and you can email us right from the website as well. The address is themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com, or you can just go to the Contact Us page, and you can just email us using a form. I've made it that easy. You can leave us voicemail, 908-514-4470. If you want, you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesucktastic. Everything we post goes there. We have a few different things that we post on a regular basis, and you can do it that way as well. You can download our podcast player at moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or you can download your favorite podcast player and just do a search for Movie Sucktastic. We come up either way. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Click the fucking link, man!
Dude, but I got the message anyway. Click the fucking link, dude! I like it. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen starring Sean Connery.
I am the last Sean Connery.
Nobody cared about me till I put on the mask.
Bye.
Bye-bye.